well, well. The Penguins started their offseason purge today by not renewing the contracts of three assistant coaches. Sergei Gonchar, who instructed the defensemen on an individual basis. Jacques Martin, who was the defensive coordinator of sorts on the bench. And Mark Recchi, who worked largely with the Penguins' power play. When you ditch three assistants at one sitting, that's firing the head coach without actually firing the head coach. Recchi had to go. He was in charge of the power play, and it tanked. It was broke, and he didn't even try to fix it in these playoffs. Martin, 67, perhaps it's best for him to get out of the pandemic's way. Then again, the GM, Jim Rutherford, he's 71. Gonchar lives in Dallas and went home frequently during the season. Gonchar did great working individually with guys like John Marino and Marcus Pettersson. Guys that, like that, really prospered under Gonch's tutelage, but perhaps it's time for more constant presence. That said, firing Gonch is not a move out of May. It's a bit surprising that the goalie coach, Mike Buckley, that he didn't get axed. But he yet may, depending on what the Penguins do with Matt Murray, because Buckley was hired because he'd worked with Murray prior. Buckley replaced Mike Bales when Murray became the number one. It's going to be interesting to see what direction the Penguins go. Philadelphia jumped way up the Eastern Conference standings with a staff that features basically three head coaches. Alain Vigneault is in charge, Michel Therrien and Mike Yeo, who both coached the Penguins at one time. Therrien as a boss and Yeo as an assistant. Therrien and Yeo are AV's assistants in Philadelphia. Now, the Penguins miss Rick Tocchet, as some of you may have mentioned both on this show and on Twitter. Tock was Sullivan's top assistant from 14 through 17. He's now Arizona's head coach, and he's best known for his work here as the Kessel Whisperer and running the power play. But Tockett's main value might have been he was unafraid to tell Sullivan when something wasn't a good idea and to suggest alternatives. That element likely wasn't present with this past season staff. A more opinionated forthcoming staff might serve the Penguins well, and Sullivan too, though he may not think so. Will there be a trickle-down from the coaching staff shakeup? I've heard people talk about that all day. Specifically, will Evgeny Malkin be upset that Gonchar got fired? Both Russians, and they were close, like family. But if Gino is bothered, perhaps Gino should have produced more than one assist in the debacle versus Montreal and better than 12 points at a minus 11 mark over the 17 games of his last three playoff series. Whoever departs from these Penguins can blame those they leave behind. Anyway, now that the Penguins have totally stiffed in two straight playoff years, it's time for that dynamic to be put to rest. Malkin is 34. Enough with the whoopee. He shouldn't need the Russian equivalent of an emotional support animal. It's time for Crosby to stop having say in his line mates. Perhaps a less wide-open system should be adopted as a concession to age and fading speed. The GM, Jim Rutherford, he thinks the Penguins' championship window is still open. Maybe it can be. But the Penguins must start doing what they have to, not what they want to. And for this franchise, that would be a monstrous adjustment. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. This is the Mark Madden Show, down on this killing floor. You can tweet me at Mark Madden X. That five overtime game last night was a travesty. No fun to watch. Tampa finally beat Columbus, and that's a monkey off their back, if only for one game. And then today, Boston went to double overtime to beat Carolina in the first game of that series. But five overtimes, come on, count me out. 6 hours long. Who wants to watch 5.5 periods of hockey without any goals? Tampa won, like I said, and now both teams are going to be fatigued all series. Five overtimes is D-U-M-B. Everyone's accusing me. I'll talk more about that later, but listen. 110 minutes between goals is not a classic. Not by any means. Again, Tampa really needed a win. Columbus swept Tampa last year when Tampa had been the President's Trophy winner but went out to the Jackets in the first round. Tampa really needed to win that first game. Want your thoughts on the Penguins' assistant coaching shuffle? We'll see what the Penguins do beyond that. The big trade will be Murray, and as a restricted free agent, trading his rights won't bring back much return. I guess Rutherford is going to keep that 15th pick overall and not give it to Minnesota to complete the Zucker trade. Minnesota will get next year's first-round pick from the Penguins. Jim doing that, it's the right move. And getting Zucker was a good move, too, because very few people played well in that series against Montreal, but Zucker did. A couple assistant coaches, well, three, to be exact, out. I thought two. It was three. Fat ass, you're wrong again. You don't know what's going on, fat ass. Mute. I hit that mute button on Twitter like Mario scored when he came back from cancer 93. It is terrifying and majestic at the same time. You got to get rid of Jack Johnson. He's played too bad too often. He's kind of emblematic of the team's slide to the fans. But I am told that the Penguins coaches think Johnson played just fine. And if that's the case, no wonder they all got fired. And if Sullivan thinks that, he is wrong. But everything I just talked about and what's happened with the assistants, those are all minor moves. The team will mostly be the same and play the same. I hope Poulin and Oliver Joseph or Olivier, whatever his name is, POJ, let's just call him POJ, Pierre Olivier or Oliver, whatever his name is, POJ, I hope he and Poulin get a legit shot. If Rutherford wants youth and drive, those two are a good place to start. But real change will have to be coached and implemented. It won't occur via changing the roster because they're not going to really change the roster very much. Here's a tidbit, a little fallout from the Montreal series. I suspected this, but now I've heard it from a few people who were in the vicinity. Murray and Sullivan had a bit of a row about Murray not starting game four, which shows a short memory on Murray's part because he kept taking Fleury's place at Sullivan's behest. I'm also told that Murray was mad all season that he didn't get a chance to play his way out of it like he thought he should. Well, Muzz, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Y'all been trying to play your way out of it since 2017, and without fruition. If anything, Jari should have been pissed at Sullivan because Sullivan didn't turn to him earlier. Getting back to the assistant coaches getting the axe today, Recchi, Gonchar, and Martin. And by the way, nothing but mad respect for all of them, but I can see why the move was made. And I would have let Rex and Martin go, maybe not Gonch. And some are theorizing that Gonchar was fired as a precursor to trading Gino. I don't think so. Otherwise, Jim doesn't say what he said yesterday about keeping the core intact, unless this is meant to bait Gino into asking out. And the Penguins don't play little kid games like that. Rutherford doesn't. Josh Owey reports that the Penguins coaches, like I said, are pleased with how Jack Johnson played. That got them all fired. They could sue for wrongful termination and use the insanity defense if they really believe that. That said, Jack Johnson wasn't even in the Penguins' top five problems in that series loss to Montreal. Okay, not top three anyway. Yoey also did his actual column on who stays and who goes. Woo! I got to get that clash riff in there anytime Yoey does that column. And the only sure thing to leave was Murray, with Letang and Hornquist up for debate. Mike Sullivan spoke to the media today and did the predictable grieving over the assistants getting fired, which I'm certain is sincere on Mike's part, seriously. But it also sounded like the Penguins are going to stick with speed and skill just like always. And if that's the case, they need more speed, as in a lot more speed, as in speed is what they need. I'm talking greasy, lightning fast speed. Am I quoting Mick from Rocky? Rocky 2, maybe? I think I am. I hope I am. Get the chicken out and let the Penguins chase it till they catch it. All right, we got Mike Rupp at 3:30, Tim Benz at 4:30, Dejan at 5:30. We got Atalanta and Paris Saint-Germain in Champions League quarterfinal action on TV. Thank God for Univision. And like I said, Boston just beat Carolina. Bergeron with the overtime winner. Can this be right? Bergeron has 4 overtime goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Wow, he really is quite a player. Svechnikov, that kid from Carolina, who I love. My 2 favorite players off outside the Penguins, Aho's definitely number 1. Svechnikov is right up there, too. He tried that lacrosse goal, the Michigan play in overtime, and they knocked it off a stick before he could do it. You know, cue big discussion. Don't get me wrong. If you can win the game doing that, do it. But that's not a hockey play. That's a sideshow. I'm not a big fan. Okay, Boomer. They didn't do that in the 50s, did they, Boomer? No, they did not. Anyway, I want your calls. Does this coaching staff shakeup mean a damn? I think it means a little. I'm not sure it means a lot. It's the Mark Madden Show. Oh, big save by whoever the goalie is for Paris Saint-Germain. Once Liverpool get eliminated, I don't keep up like I should. 105.9 The X. Big Jim Rutherford fan. I think he's done a great job as the Penguins general manager, is doing a great job as the Penguins general manager, and will continue to do so. But when he shifted the heat yesterday, talking to the media, when he shifted the heat from Jack Johnson to Justin Schultz, I wish he hadn't. Schultz won 2 Stanley Cups here. He's a free agent. He's looking for a contract. Maybe the GM shouldn't bury him on Schultz's way out the door when he's trying to get a new deal. That's all. I'm still a Jim fan. Again, he's done a great job as Pittsburgh GM, but now he has to do even better. Recky, Gonchar, and Martin all let go today. What's that mean? You tell me. 412-333-WXDX. I want to revisit the Minka thing from yesterday. Terrell Austin, the Steelers, one of the Steelers' defensive assistants, said Minka Fitzpatrick, the safety, the all-pro, he will move around now to make more plays, kind of like Troy used to. Last year, that Steeler defense had 38 takeaways and 54 sacks, so exactly how many more plays need to be made? I've said this ever since the possibility of doing what they're doing with Minka got mooted. I'd leave well enough alone. And moving Minka around has a trickle-down. How will the other moving parts do? Specifically, Terrell Edmunds, who so far has had trouble handling anything besides vanilla. And this is being done to keep Minka happy, no doubt on that. He's a bit of a diva. He proved that in Miami. Now, we're not sure how extensive this will be, but keep in mind that when Troy Polamalu had free reign at safety, his partner was either Ryan Clark or Chris Hope. That was the other safety. Terrell Edmunds ain't Ryan Clark or Chris Hope. Not yet, and from where I'm looking, probably not ever. And Minka ain't Troy. Could be. Could wind up. Not yet. 412-333-WXDX. Mike Rupp at the bottom of the hour. I'm watching Champions League right now. Atalanta from Italy versus Paris Saint-Germain from France, the first quarterfinal. I'm enjoying the NHL playoffs, but maybe not as much as I thought. I have no interest in the NBA. I have zero interest in nonstop wokeness. Every time I look at the back of the jersey, I see wokeness. Every time I look at what's printed on the court, I see wokeness. Every time I look at the t-shirts on the bench, I see wokeness. okay, if that's what you want, I'm just not interested. If you think it's good, then good, it's your product. I'm just not interested. In football so far, there's like no visibility for NFL camps, no exhibitions. That's how you always kind of monitor progress, at least on shows like this one, and that's not going to happen this year. The first game's scheduled for September 10th. That's that Thursday night game, the annual lid lifter. I'm anticipating it so much, I'm not even sure who's playing. Is it Kansas City and Houston, maybe? That's only 29 days away. And it's tough to hang with the NHL after what the Penguins did. Watching hockey heightens the disappointment, especially when it's a six-hour game with no goals that never ends. Sorry, but that's boring. People are saying, oh, what a classic. That much hockey with so few goals is boring. Let's go real quick to the Swabby in Dormont. Swabby, you're on with Double M.
How you doing, Mark?
Good, Swabby. What's up?
Just disappointing the way the Pens ended the season, and with the moves today, it's a little shocking, but not too shocking with someone had to get the axe. But
here's the thing with those moves. I think they're warranted, but it's kind of scapegoating, too. I don't know how much those guys lost that series, except the power play was under Recchi's jurisdiction, and it just soiled the bed.
Yeah, I saw a DK stream. Maybe you can visit with him later about this. He was talking about kind of sarcastic, saying how the Penguins' core is old, but the Bruins' core is old too, and they're still winning. Well, the difference is the Bruins play a different style, and their style matches their personnel. They go to the net a lot harder.
Well, their style always matches what the personnel is, whereas the Penguins' style is trying to match what the personnel was.
Exactly, and that's what the biggest difference is. So the Penguins need to either change their style or have a complete overhaul of basically their lineup, and it's a lot easier to change the style than it is change the entire roster. And I don't know if the players that want to do that, that especially namely Sid, Malkin, and Letang, and like you were saying, you can't change the attitude unless you get rid of one of those guys, and obviously you're not getting rid of
Sid.
Well,
you know, maybe you can, but it's a lot less likely. Here's a tweet from Heath, who says, as Tocchet was the Kessel, wasn't Gonchar the Malkin whisperer as well? Russian connection. He says that here real, with a lot of gravitas, Russian connection. If a 34-year-old man needs a emotional support animal to be the best hockey player can be, that's pathetic. And these last three playoff years, Gino ain't been the best hockey player he can be, nor would the Penguins need him to be. Just saying. If he's that mad because Gonch got fired, then trade him to Florida, where all the other Russians go to die, like Bob. 412-333-9939. Rupper next. 105.9.
At 105.9.
Double M on the X. Penguins with the shakeup today, firing three assistant coaches. They lost to Montreal. We had a 5-overtime game last night. Boy, a lot of hockey to talk about. And here to talk about it from the NHL Network and AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, he is former Stanley Cup champion, former Penguin, Mike Rupp. Rupper, let me ask first about that game between Tampa and Columbus that went 5 overtimes. Isn't that just too long? I mean, maybe play 4-on-4 at some point. That's too much hockey with 0 goals.
No, it is, but I think there's not really any alternative. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to kind of put a pause on it and get back to it the next day? I think that that's kind of part of the chess match, is how a coach will utilize his bench. I mean, maybe one team has, they've shortened their bench in that situation. Well, that's a huge advantage to the other team. So I like it. I love being a positive. I was playing, I obviously never been a part of one 5 overtimes, but I've been in a 3-overtime game before. I don't want to see it change. I just think that there's no real way of doing it, because there actually is some kind of chess pieces that are happening throughout that game, and you got to play it out at one swoop.
I see your point, and there's a lot to be said for tradition too, but let me ask you this. Did you watch the whole game, all 8 periods, or did you nod off, maybe take a nap?
I watched the third period and all the overtimes. So I didn't watch the first 2 periods. So maybe if you ask me, if I started that game at 3 o'clock, maybe I'd give you a different sign. But I at least had a little bit of my day to myself and didn't waste the whole thing watching it.
Now, here's the bigger question. What the frig happened to Pittsburgh against Montreal? Because no one saw that coming. Absolutely no one picked the Canadiens to win that series.
No, no. I would actually say, just from conversations that I've had as far as just, you know, with some analysts that I work with and we're just talking over things, I would probably say, and I don't think this is a stretch, I think last year's first round upset from Columbus to Tampa is less of a shock to me than what Montreal did to Pittsburgh.
I agree.
And the reason why I'll say that is Columbus we knew was a hard out. We knew they're difficult. We knew stylistically it was an awful matchup for Tampa last year. I didn't think that it would be like that. I thought they would give them a series. I thought it would be more of a series, not a sweep. This one for me, I mean, you're talking about a team in Montreal that they shouldn't even be in this position. But the circumstances, and well, we get it. It's a different time and different rules and that applied. And I just thought there's nothing that matchup-wise, what I saw from them, I'm not trying to say nothing in it was a fluke. I mean, they played, they outplayed, they were willing to do things and sacrifice things that the Penguins weren't able to or weren't willing to do as a team. They earned every bit of that. Now it changes my view on Montreal because I'm like, they are playing a brand of hockey right now. They're going to be a handful. And I don't think it's just going to stop. I don't know if they're going to get by this next round, but the way they're playing and you watch that style, how frustrating it is. You're waiting. It's like you think it's coming. Okay. Well, you know, we're right there. We're right there. They kind of seem like they're in control the whole time, even though they were.
Well, no, it's a weird style, Robert. I know what you mean. They clog the neutral zone, but they're real fast, too. It's like they can forecheck and trap at the same time.
It just seems like, you know, when you, as a player, too, and even as a viewer, when you're watching, and there's certain times in the game where you see maybe a puck squirt free, and your team that you're rooting for or playing on has a step on that puck, and you're like, oh, here we go. And then there's like another guy from their team. It's almost like you got to look around and be like, I got to count how many guys they have on the ice. It seems like they got too many. And, you know, and I think a perfect comparable, I thought about it today. I was watching this Bruins Carolina game, and there was a point in overtime where Charlie Coyle on the Boston Bruins just decided, I'm taking this puck to the net. And he did. Brady Shea brought him down. And I thought in that moment, I don't remember the Penguins really ever getting to that point where they were like, it's almost like in basketball. I grew up a basketball fan. Like sometimes when you're cold and you can't hit a bucket, you just got to drive the rim. And then there's going to be a foul. There's going to be a penalty. I just didn't feel like the Penguins were willing to do things like that against Montreal. It was hard to get to the inside. It's not easy. They have three big defensemen, big in size and big in eating up minutes. And I just didn't feel like the Penguins could get inside ever. And if they did, it wasn't followed up with another shift of doing it.
The shakeup with Pittsburgh started today. Three assistant coaches got fired, Martin, Gonchar, and Recchi. How much impact does that really have, Rupper? Do assistant coaches getting fired, does that really resonate among the players?
I, from my experience, it does because I'm not speaking on Pittsburgh's situation, but for the most part, on most teams I've played on, when you go through these bad moments, and I would consider this that, and last season the same thing, there's sometimes with players, there's a little bit of a, you know, you need a little bit of break from the head coach. And again, generally speaking, not talking about Sully and his connection, his relationship and with the team. Those other guys are the buffers, right? Those are the guys that are coming in and they're making sure that, you know, there's still that open line of communication. Those guys have to have that relationship with the players of almost, they're a coach. They're, you know, they're authority, if you will, in that position, but they're kind of your friend to some degree. And none of them are hard asses in those positions. And no, I don't think any of those guys are. So when those guys get fired, you take that personally as a player. You're thinking that that's blood on your hands and you're mad about it. And I would say Sergei Gonchar is one that might even strike an even deeper chord of, you know, that's going to anger some players, and one in particular, and Evgeny Malkin. So it stinks. But, you know, what do you – you need it. We knew something was going to be shaken up. I don't think it's done. But and a lot of these times in these positions, those guys don't even deserve it. I don't know. I'm not inside that locker room. But you got to get the attention of the guys. And from my experiences in the past, when I've been on teams where they take out assistant coaches, that kind of gives everybody a wake-up call real quick.
We're talking to Mike Rupp here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X. Jim Rutherford said yesterday he's going to keep the core together, Sid, Gino, and Letang. Is that good, Rupper? Can things really change if nothing changes at the top of the roster?
I think I would probably be, if I'm putting my GM hat on, I'm thinking the same thing, because that's what you have different than any other team. I understand that there's things you need more out of certain guys and all that stuff. But if you were to split up the core that they have, what do you have now? What's your crutch? What do you go into? That's one thing they have. They've got to find a better mix. I find looking at this team, not to name any names on this roster, but there's too many coattail surfers that are waiting for their opportunity to play with these guys on their line. What are you doing when you're on, you know, a third line or a fourth line that's contributing to the nightly success of this team? And I feel like there's guys that are comfortable on the roster, and you can't have that, because, you know, as much as we want to say Evgeny Malkin only had one assist in that series, he was a hell of a lot better than a lot of the guys on that roster, in my opinion. He had a lot of shots. He led the whole round, if you will, the preliminary round and shots, and he wasn't at his best, but he was far from being the worst. And, you know, it can't be always on those guys. Those guys are the difference makers, yes, but they aren't. You need somebody else stepping up and providing something. If there's a game in this situation against Montreal Canadiens where it's hard for you to get to the inside of the ice and get to the nitty gritty part, and it kind of sacrifice certain things in your game and physically to get there, I'm not necessarily first looking at Gino and Sid. I'm looking at other guys, and I just didn't feel like they had that.
Well, what is the biggest problem then? What has to be changed? Because, stupid me, I picked him to sweep Montreal. You picked him to beat Montreal. Everybody picked Pittsburgh. What has to be changed?
Yeah, I just think that there has to be it's really hard for me to comment on this, because I did not win two Stanley Cups in back-to-back years, and a lot of these guys are still on the roster. I don't know. I don't know if there's, you know, I won with New Jersey in my rookie year. So I still had to scratch, claw, and grab my way to just carve out a career in the NHL for myself. Like, yeah, I don't know. Do guys, once you experience that, is it kind of, do you get comfortable? I you know, being comfortable in the NHL is the beginning of a slow death, no matter who you are. And you got to always kind of feel and be on your toes, because you have a job that could be lost. And, you can be exploited over the course of a game real easy. So you always got to be on your toes. I feel like they just lost that somewhere along the line. So whether it's, you know, rattling the cage maybe the way they did now, I definitely think there's probably personnel decisions that they have to make. But for me, the one thing you've got is you've got a core group of guys that's already accomplished a ton. But even where their games are at today, it's a lot better than a lot of other teams, and other GMs would be drooling over the roster. So I think keeping those guys together, just you got to find that right mix again. You know, let's think back when they had their success in 16 and 17. Carl Hagelin, Nick Bonino, I mean, even Phil Kessel, they're playing like rabid dogs. They're all over the place. They had this tenacity in their game. That's when Brian Rust was busting in the league. He had a little extra oomph too. You know, these things that I just didn't see it consistently enough, I think, with this team.
Did Sullivan wait too long to go to Jari against Montreal? And what happens now with Pittsburgh goaltending with both guys restricted free agents?
Yeah, it's to be honest, I would have probably done the same thing he did. You know, I said at the beginning that even on your show here that I would have gone with Matt Murray. So it's hard to really to judge that. It's easy to say that because Tristan Jarry looked pretty good when he went in. But, you know, if I'm on that team, I like when coaches go to the guys who have gotten them through it before. And it didn't work. And it wasn't all on Matt Murray. We know that. Was he, you know, the best we've seen of Matt Murray? Absolutely not. But he wasn't the reason why that series was lost. So, yeah, I mean, you can argue, yeah, Tristan Jarry, the way he looked in that last game, yeah, wow, what would have been if he would have played those other games? I don't know if it would have been a different result, though.
Will Murray be in demand? Because I got a feeling Murray goes and Jarry stays because Murray's price tag is going to be a lot higher. If they try to move him, will he be in demand? How do other teams and GMs, how do they see Matt Murray now?
His demand, his stock was higher at one point, you know, after the two cups, for sure. But for what he's done in his career, and he's still a fairly young player, yeah, there's a lot of value in that. There's a ton of teams you're going to see in the next coming weeks right now, because now you're actually starting the field of 16. There's going to be a handful of these teams that are going to be, we need a goalie. That's what held us back this year. And, yeah, there's going to be a market for Matt Murray. Why? Because he simply won two cups.
Well, yeah, but the problem, Rupper, is what return will he bring? Because if you trade his rights, you're trading only his rights, and that other team has to sign him. So that's maybe more than an inconvenience, given what he's probably going to want.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's going to be – there's the demand is there. Certain teams that are desperate in those situations will probably, you know, he'll be able to kind of hold a little bit of a ransom on what he wants. I think he would get that with some teams. It just depends what, if he got in that situation, what his appetite would be for. But as far as getting return on it, yes, there, you can definitely get, you know, a pretty high-end prospect slash, Matt Murray, in my mind, you could bring back a top six forward.
Wow, really? I hope you're right.
I think we could look at any other goalies. If after these next few weeks when these teams drop out, there's a strong lack of, there's going to be questions. There's going to be probably 8 to 9 teams in this league that want to upgrade in that goalie situation, not just for a year. They want to get that consolidated. They might actually view Matt Murray as being on a little bit of a deal right now if you're able to sign him, because of the way the last 2 years have gone. It's been inconsistent. So you're not going to have to pay the hefty tag if this was coming off his two cups. So, yeah, I think there certainly could be a return there. A lot of question marks. Jim Rutherford's got a lot of decisions he has to make.
And finally, Rupper, who wins the cup now? Because it might be Philadelphia, which wouldn't exactly make my year.
Yeah, Philly looks dangerous. I still think all of my decision on the Eastern Conference relies on Victor Hedman. I didn't think he was going to play in game one. He played 55 minutes or whatever he played, and he looked pretty good. So if he is in the lineup and healthy, even without Steven Stamkos, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be really tough. And I'll give them a little buffer even in game one, the 5 overtime game with Columbus. They haven't played their best yet. That was their first taste of desperation hockey, and they looked actually pretty good. They looked a little different than they did last year. And then out west, I still think Vegas with that goalie tandem and the depth they have there, Max Pacioretty back. I think Vegas wins the cup.
Rupper, great stuff, great input today and all season long, and we'll talk again soon, I hope. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Matt. Talk to you later.
That is Mike Rupp. He's brought to you by Duncan. Pittsburgh runs on Duncan and by First National Bank. Penguins dismissed 3 assistants today, Martin, Gonchar, and Recchi. What will the tangible impact be, and how pissed do you think Gino is that his countryman got canned, and does he have a right to be? 412-333-WXDX.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's keep the Penguin talk going, or the Champions League talk going. No Bucko talk, they stink. Steelers camp, not sure what to say. As I said, exhibition games have always been the barometer of where the Steelers are during preseason. Now we don't have that to judge them by, and camp's not very visible, not like it was at Latrobe. So I still got to do a show because I still want paid. Here's a good idea. Let's talk about this. There's a new phenomenon called stuck porn. Stuck porn. One person is stuck in a disadvantageous position, like wedged under a sink, fixing it. Under the sink, stuck, can't get out, and another person comes along and takes advantage. It's weird. It doesn't sound consensual, which it gotta be, right? If it's not, it's bad. It's usually like a mother and stepson type of thing. Forbidden fruit with X amount of whimsy involved, or so I'm told. I have not watched and will not watch, as far as you know. I have a bunch of t-shirts with Penguins hockey on the front, along with the NHL logo and the Pens logo. When I say I have a bunch, I have like six of them. I wore one yesterday, I'm wearing another one today, and I would bet people think I'm wearing the same dirty t-shirt for the second day in a row, which I would if I were doing stuck porn. Twitter has a great new device. You can keep people from replying to your tweets, which is awesome because I'm tweeting like, Jack Johnson should play wing with Geno. That would fix both problems. And people are fracturing their fingers trying to reply, and they can't. Boy, between that and the mute function, I am turning Twitter into my own private paradise, a totalitarian system. Pittsburgh Dan Jr. was at it again. The Pirates are 3-13, and he's tweeting, gee, I missed the ballpark. I missed the spells. Stooge. Yeah, it smells all right. Coast to Coast brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com and by the law firm of Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Deion Sanders left the NFL Network to go to Barstool Sports. This is a classic example of water finding its own level. And it's more Deion just getting what he can because NFL Network, yeah, they wanted to bring him back, but at a considerably reduced rate of pay. Alrighty then, up next, going to talk about how stupid a 5 overtime hockey game is. That's 30 seconds away here on 105.9 The X.